today is a special day. And today I want to talk about the easiest command of Jesus. The absolute easiest command. But if we can do this command, oh, it has power.
For easiest command of Jesus.
Welcome to Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the Word. Jesus has in the New Testament 50 direct commands. And I'm just going to read just the first 10. I'm only going to use a word or two from the command, not the whole scripture. Repent, follow me. Rejoice, let your light shine before men, honor God's law, be reconciled, do not commit adultery, keep your word, go the second mile, love your enemies. That's just the first 10 of the 50. And all of those are kind of tough. You know, Jesus' commands were pretty tough. They really were. They're just not that easy. But I want to talk today from the easiest of the 50 commands of Jesus. I preached a sermon years ago called The Roughest Verse in the Bible. And that verse was entitled, basically, if you love money, you'll hate God. And if you love God, you'll hate money. That's the roughest verse in the Bible. So it's still the roughest verse in the Bible. So today I want to talk about the easiest command of Jesus. And as I went over all 50 of Jesus' commands, the easiest one was actually commandment number 42. And 42 simply says, take, eat, and drink. It's Matthew chapter 26, beginning with the 26th verse. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. It's what we do here every first Sunday in the taking of communion. It's the easiest of all of the commands to drink the wine or to drink the grape juice and eat the little cracker. That's easy. Take of my body, take of my blood for the remission of sins. It's the easiest command of all of the commands that Jesus gave. And all of us come on the first Sunday and we drink that little cup and we eat that little cracker. And it's easy. It's the easiest command, but it was also the hardest. In the book of John, chapter 6, beginning at the 53rd verse, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to him whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Eat of my flesh, drink of my blood. It was the easiest commandment. But it was the hardest. Jesus had 70 disciples. 58 left because of that command. When Jesus said, you got to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, they said, this is a hard saying here. I ain't eating no flesh. And I'm not drinking any blood. I got to go. So it is interesting that this one act was both easiest and hardest, all rolled into one. And number one, Jesus knew the 12. Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? I talked about that in the last sermon called When the Exorcist Won't Come. Sermon 20:32. Out of 70, he says, I knew the 12, and one of you is a devil. You can't come to me unless my Father draws you. All of you who are here today, you're drawn. Jesus knew you before you ever set foot in this church. He said of Jeremiah, I knew you before you entered your mother's womb. Jesus knows you. Jesus knows that you are supposed to be with him. He said, I knew the 12. And not only did I know the 12, I know one of the 12 gonna betray me. I know. Jesus knows you. But what is easy with understanding is super difficult without understanding. If we had to eat human flesh today, we'd have a problem with that. If we had to drink blood, we'd have a problem with that. What's easy with understanding is difficult without understanding. And Jesus did not explain it to the 70. Some things with God, you got to take on faith. And if you trust God, you got to take it on faith because it may not make logical sense to you. If it's in his word and God has spoken it, you got to take it on faith. And even when you look at it, well, suppose Jesus had been talking about eating his flesh. It's not that it's unheard of, because that's the whole basis of cannibalism. In cannibalism, people don't eat folk just for food. They really eat them to get the attributes of the person. That's, don't even worry about trying to study cannibalism, because you ain't going to need that. But the point is, even if Jesus had been literally talking about eating his flesh, and it granted you eternal life, I think I could take a morsel or two of that if it granted me. I mean, do you know what folk eat just to get some health benefits? Do you know what men sometimes go through eating, trying to get some, you know, some vigor back? They eat all kind of stuff because it supposedly will have some attributes will just improve this earthly life. What about eternal life? And what about if you could eat some flesh and drink some blood and you got eternal life? And flesh can't be that bad. I don't know what human flesh tastes like, but it can't be worse than chitlins. It just can't be worse than chitlins. So, even if Jesus had been literal about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, that would grant you eternal life, I would do it. If I knew this was the Son of God, and I knew partaking of his flesh and partaking of his blood would grant me eternal life, I would do it. And we eat all kind of other junk and mess and stuff. You see, that's why you have to readjust your mind to some things. But those 58 said, ugh. And understand this. To follow Jesus in that day was not like coming to church in America. You had to be willing to die, because to follow Jesus was a death sentence. Every one of the disciples except one died a horrible, violent death. So if you were going to be a disciple of Jesus, you were risking your life. So what's a little flesh? And if you were risking your life to follow this man, you had to have a belief. They had seen the miracles this man had done. So that's why sometimes our worldly thinking can block us from our heavenly reward. And sometimes God may ask you to do some things that you cannot stomach. And one of the big things he may ask you to do is forgive this person that has hurt and wronged you. I can't do that. That make me sick to my stomach. Do you know what they did to me? And you want me to forgive them? I can't stomach that. And there are some things that God's word will tell you. Forgive them. Love your enemies. You want me to do what? Loving your enemies is harder than eating Jesus' flesh, real flesh. Yes. Do you know what it takes to love an enemy? Someone who has just done you wrong all kind of ways, tried to kill you, tried to ruin your reputation, tried to steal your stuff. Do you know what it takes to love an enemy? So God will ask you to do some things that your stomach will rebel against. But those 58 lost their reward, all because of flesh. All because the flesh recoiled at eating something they didn't want to eat. And they lost their salvation because of their lack of understanding. And I will tell you, you're not going to have understanding on all of the stuff God is going to tell you. Reading through that Bible, there's some stuff I still, what in the world? There's some stuff every time I read through the Bible, what in the world? What does this mean? Why is this? It's some stuff I do not understand. You're not going to have full understanding. But you have to have faith. Faith is to do without understanding. Because if you have understanding, you don't need faith. Faith is to do when you don't understand. Blessed are those who believe and have not seen. When you don't have the proof, and yet you can follow what God has told you to do. They lost their eternal reward because of something they couldn't stomach. Over 50 years ago, two human beings changed history by walking on the surface of the moon. But what happened before Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong exited the lunar module is perhaps even more amazing, if only because so few people know about it. I'm talking about the fact that Buzz Aldrin took communion on the surface of the moon. Some months after his return, he wrote about it in Guidepost magazine. The background to the story is that Aldrin was an elder at his Presbyterian church in Texas during this period in his life. And knowing that he would soon be doing something unprecedented in human history, he felt he should mark the occasion somehow, and he asked his minister to help him. And so the minister consecrated a communion wafer and a small vial of communion wine. And Buzz Aldrin took them with him out of the Earth's orbit and onto the surface of the moon. He and Armstrong had only been on the lunar surface for a few minutes when Aldrin made the following public statement. "This is the lunar module pilot. I'd like to take this opportunity to ask every person listening in, whoever and wherever they may be, to pause for a moment and contemplate the events of the past few hours and to give thanks in his or her own way." He then ended radio communication. And there, on the silent surface of the moon, 250,000 miles from Earth, he read a verse from the Gospel of John. And he took communion. Here is his own account of what happened. "In the radio blackout, I opened the little plastic packages which contained the bread and the wine. I poured the wine into the chalice of our church that they'd given me. In the 1/6 gravity of the moon, the wine slowly curled and gracefully came up the side of the cup. Then I read the scripture. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whosoever abides in me will bring forth much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." I had intended to read my communion passage back to Earth, but at the last minute, they had requested that I not do this. NASA was already embroiled in a legal battle with Madeleine Murray O'Hare, the celebrated opponent of religion, over the Apollo 8 crew reading from Genesis while orbiting the moon at Christmas. I agreed reluctantly not to broadcast it. I ate the tiny host and swallowed the wine. I gave thanks for the intelligence and spirit that had brought two young pilots to the Sea of Tranquility. It was interesting for me to think the very first liquid ever poured on the moon and the very first food eaten there was communion. 250,000 miles away from Earth, and hardly anybody knows that. Nobody knows it, that they took communion, or at least Buzz did. I don't know about Neil, but Buzz took communion on the surface of the moon. It is the easiest of all of Jesus' 50 commands, but yet it is the most powerful and most significant. If you accept his body, his flesh, and his blood, for my flesh is food and my blood is drink. Next Sunday, we take communion. And I just want you to have a different mentality as you take the communion and to understand that 83% of the disciples refused communion because they didn't understand. And to take that communion, it's not just wine or grape juice It's not just a wafer or a cracker. It is representative that when you drink it, when you eat it, your sins are forgiven. So much of our psychological and emotional problems, they are the result of baggage that we carry from stuff we have done or feel guilty about or has been imposed upon us. When you drink it, imagine all of that stuff washing away from you, and you leave clean and refreshed and born again, and your eternal life secured. And you have a choice to be like the 11. You have a choice to be like the 11 or the 59, because that put Judas over in that other group. And there will always be many more in the 59 group than in the 11 group. But it's a choice. It's a choice, but more importantly, it's an understanding. Because if the 59 had understood, they would not have left Jesus. If they had understood. But even if I were there, and I knew this was the Son of God, and I knew he had the power to grant me eternal life and salvation and relieve and forgive all of my sins, he just had to fry me up some flesh. It's a small price that our natural stomach may rebel, because our natural flesh will rebel against many of the things God will tell you to do. If they ask you to carry it 1 mile, carry it two. We don't want to do that stuff. Our natural flesh rebels. But Jesus' blood and flesh cleanses, refreshes, and gives us life. Choose to be among the 11 or the 59. Today represents that day. And you'll have a whole week to think about it by the time you get here next Sunday. I want you to pause with that. I thought about doing it today, but no, you need a week to think about it. So it's not haphazard, it's not emotional. You've thought about it, and you've made a decision that you really, when you take this wine and this bread, that you really, really know this represents the body of Christ and what it can do for you. And you feel all of this stuff that you carried all of these years melt away. I thank you for joining us today at Brothers of the Word. May the blood of Christ, the flesh of Christ, wipe your sins and your guilt and your pain clean. Thank you for joining us today at Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word.
You are listening to brothersoftheword.com. This was the message titled, Easiest Command of Jesus, by Nathaniel Bronner. This message is number 2033. That's 2033. To listen to thousands of free messages, or to send this message number 2033 to a friend, go to brothersoftheword.com.
If this message has been a blessing to you, and you would like to help support this ministry, go to iwanttogive.com. That's iwanttogive.com.
Listen to brothersoftheword.com often, because brother, you need the word.